African American hip hop was the music of Stephen Talty's youth. He grew up the son of Irish immigrants in an all-white neighborhood in Buffalo, New York. But he says black culture was always a big part of his life.
I was a fan of early hip hop. Went to some of the earliest tours, you know, had black sports heroes, read black writers, so I really felt that if I had been affected by this kind of invisible influence, that there had to be more people out there, both black and white, you know, like me.
There turned out to be so many people that Stephen Talty says he could have written volumes on the subject. Instead, he's written a single book, Mulatto America, that explores key points in the exchange of black and white values, ideas, and art forms. One of the earliest exchanges came in the 18th century, when white evangelists began converting black American slaves to Christianity.
You had British preachers coming over, giving these huge rallies, 30,000 people and upwards, and in the crowd would be poor whites, slaves, and slave masters. And it was one of the few times that people could meet as equals in the society. And the churches that arose out of those revivals were probably more biracial than they are in the South today.
Go down.
Stephen Talty says those first black American Christians put their own interpretations on biblical texts. They were especially drawn to the story of how Moses led the captive Israelites out of Egypt and into the Promised Land.
The whites often emphasized, obey your master, those kinds of verses. The slaves themselves, who had sort of been kidnapped into the Western world, they looked at the story of the Israelites and really saw themselves in that narrative. So it was a way for them to find justice and freedom coming for them, as predicted by, you know, the whites' own code book.
The American Civil War ended slavery, but also led to a new gulf between blacks and whites. In the decades following the war, Stephen Talty says laws enforcing racial segregation went into effect throughout the American South. But the two cultures again intersected at the start of the 20th century, when black intellectuals embraced Shakespeare and other European writers and thinkers from the past.
I think it was exemplified in someone like W.B. Du Bois. He was this prodigy. He was a scholar who went to Harvard and later to a university in Germany. And what he found in Europe was really an ideal of where white culture could go. He really thought that America was sort of just a backward province and that it was going to catch up. And he was treated very well in Europe and respected. So he came back full of hope for America. And his whole generation really saw white culture in that way, that if only blacks could perform in classical music or could write novels of their own or become poets, that would prove their humanity.
Instead, African Americans created pioneering new art forms of their own, with music leading the way. Stephen Talty says black jazz musicians created a sound and style that quickly jumped over racial boundaries.
It was actually an art form that drew from a lot of sources, Caribbean, European. It was definitely originated by blacks, and whites immediately upon hearing it sort of wanted in. So you had serious white musicians and serious fans coming to black clubs, not only emulating the notes that they heard and creating in their own way, but also seeing black culture at its core. It was really kind of a counterculture. It said that those things which are valued in mainstream America, at the time it was things like money-making, respectability, were not what we value. We value passionate response to life. We value sexual honesty, and we value improvisation. I think especially for young people, that was an appealing message.
And that began a back-and-forth process of musical borrowing that continued throughout the century, including everyone from white rock and roll stars to black gospel artists to a new generation of hip-hop musicians.
If you think about someone like Eminem, I think 25 years ago, a poor white kid coming out of Detroit probably would have gone into heavy metal automatically. But Eminem saw hip-hop as sort of his natural art form. He felt he had lived a life that encouraged him to feel rage and defiance, and that hip-hop was the way to express it. So hip-hop has become totally global. You know, you have hip-hoppers and breakdancers in Japan or in Russia. So it's just sort of the last stage after jazz and rock and roll where a hybrid form has really come to almost rule the world.
Stephen Talty says the 20th century was an era of firsts for black Americans, the first black sports heroes, the first black movie stars, the first black literary prize winners. and he believes the making of Mulatto America has reached the point where it's almost past history. A new process is now underway.
I think maybe in 30 years someone will write a book called Mestizo America, because the numbers of Latinos and their power is just rising so quickly. I really think that's probably a good thing for the racial question, because this old polarity between black and white will be broken down more and more. When you have such a mixed popular culture, people no longer feel the need to only choose black-only ideas or white-only fashions. There's less emphasis on that kind of racial thinking.
Stephen Talty is the author of Mulatto America.
Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, and the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie. Let's rock. You don't stop, rock the rhythm that'll make your body rock. Well, so far you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out. Well, I'm Imp the Dimp, the ladies pimp, the women fight for my delight. But I'm the grand master with the three MCs that shop the house for the young ladies. And when you come inside and to the front, you do the freak spank, you do the bump. And when the sucker MCs try to prove a point with Trent's feel, I win the serious joiner. From sun to sun and from day to day, I sit down and write a brand new rhyme. Because they say that miracles never cease, I've created a devastating masterpiece. I'm gonna rock the mic so you can't resist. Everybody, I say it goes like this. While I was coming home late one dark afternoon, reporter stopped me for an interview. She said she's heard stories and she's heard fables that are vicious on the mic and the turntable. This young reporter I did adore, so I rocked the vicious rhyme like I never did before. She said, damn fly guy, I'm in love with you. Casanova legend must have been true. I said, by the way, baby, what's your name? Said, I go by the name Lois Lane, and you can be my boyfriend, you surely can. Just let me quit my boyfriend, call Superman. I said, he's a fairy, I do suppose, flying through the air, the pantyhose. He may be very sexy or even cute, but he looks like a sucker in a blue and red suit. I said, you need a man who's got finesse and his whole name across his chest. He may be able to fly all through the night, but can he rock a party till the early light? He can't satisfy you.